time or two I've said, we don't look to be too long tonight, and well, anyway. But we want to share a message with you. The Lord's given us is working with what we've got now. Working with what we've got now. You know, we don't have apostles doing miracles and wonders. Look back in Acts with me. We'll get to our text in a moment. But in Acts chapter 2, we find here in the Lord's first church, sometimes I read these accounts and I think of what it must have been like. Think of what it must have, how exciting and wondrous it truly would have been. But in Acts chapter 2, at verse 41, it says, Acts 2:41, then they that gladly received His word were baptized, and the same day there was added unto them. Church did not start on the day of Pentecost. The Lord added to His church on the day of Pentecost. Church was started during the Lord's personal earthly ministry. It was empowered and added unto. And it said, and they continued steadfastly in the apostles' doctrine and fellowship and in breaking of bread and in prayers, and fear came upon every soul. And many wonders and signs were done by the apostles. We don't have that today. We don't have the apostles. We don't have the apostolic wonders and signs. And many wonders and signs were done. And I think, boy, that'd be wonderful. That'd be amazing. That'd be awesome to experience a church service with the apostles and have seen and witnessed some of those signs and wonders that were done. But we don't have that today. Now, God still works miracles. God still blesses. We've had our own experience of sickness and being near death, and the Lord raised us up. We know many others that have been through things, and doctors have pretty much said, this is it, or, you know, we've reached all, you know, the end of what we can do and so forth, and many still among us, you know, they're still going on and so forth. So we have our miracles, we have wonders that the Lord has done in our lives and so forth, but as far as our gathering, as far as our service, when we see a soul saved, every time we see someone saved, it certainly is a miracle, it certainly is exciting to see. But we don't have the apostles in our midst and many wonders and signs being done. But beloved, I believe what God's given us now is enough. What we have now is enough. Looking with me in 1 Corinthians chapter 13. Verse 13. The Corinthian church was a mess by all accounts. They had big problems. They had issues. And like little Zach, one of my grandkids a few years back, stopped by as dad was on the way, taking him to the doctors. And he looked up with those little sad eyes. He says, Daddy says I got issues. He's taking me to the doctor. Well, the church at Corinth had issues. They had some big time issues. And yet they wanted to experience signs and wonders. They wanted to experience miraculous things and so forth. And I believe Paul reined them in a little bit, and we're not going to get into all the different doctrinal issues here that Paul did and teaching them about the tongues and different things. But the Apostle Paul said this in 1 Corinthians 13, verse 13. 1 Corinthians 13, verse 13. And now abideth faith, hope, charity, love. These three, but the greatest of these is charity, is love. Let us pray. Dear Lord God, as we get into your word here for a few moments tonight, may you bless and give this poor preacher, Lord, strength and grace, and guide my tongue and my mind. Help me to say only that which is according to your truth, and Lord, that which would glorify you and lift up our Savior. Help us to grow in the grace and knowledge of these things. And we're so thankful to have been brought to this time to have this privilege and opportunity to share your word here with your people. Father, bless it for your sake. Receive all honor and glory and praise. We pray that you would work the miracle in salvation of some lost soul in our midst. We pray, dear God, that we who are saved will be ever mindful of the miracle you worked in our heart and soul when you saved us. Lord, help, we pray, for we are but a feeble folk. We are very needy people. We look to you in all things. In Jesus' name we pray and ask it. Amen. But now abideth faith, hope, charity, love. These three, but the greatest of these is charity, is love. We don't have the apostles. We don't have signs and wonders being done in all of our services and so forth. And we don't see even some of the physical manifestations that were seen in Baptist churches just not that many years ago. But beloved, what we have now is enough. What we have now to serve the Lord, to follow the Lord, to be faithful to the Lord, to please the Lord, to be used of the Lord, to glorify the Lord, is enough. We've got all we need in faith, hope, and love to serve the Lord acceptably, to please Him that has chosen us to be His soldiers. Oh, beloved, let us not look back and think, oh, I remember the days, or oh, if it would be like that again, oh, I remember this. No, let's rejoice now in faith, hope, and love to honor and glorify our Lord, to worship and serve Him, to be a witness for Him, to be a light shining in a dark place. And beloved, this whole world around us is a dark, dark place, isn't it? And oh, how this old world needs a continuing shining light. You know, Jesus said would be a city set upon a hill that shall not be hid. Nowadays, the darker it gets, without doing anything different, without doing anything more, without doing anything unusual, without doing something new and improved in our own effort or so forth, Brother Mel alluded to and spoke of, so just by keeping on, we'll shine brighter than we ever have before. Because the world is darker around us than it's ever been before. You know, many cars that folks drive nowadays have those lights that come on as soon as you turn the key, start it up. Lights automatically come on, and so forth. And you know, you get in the car in the middle of the daytime, you turn on the lights, you turn on your car, and the lights come on, you know, it's not that big a deal. But let the sun go down, turn on the car, and the lights come on. And it's not that the lights have gotten brighter. They were shining, they were as bright as they were at noonday. But it's gotten darker. And that's the way it is with us in the Lord's service. That's the way it is with us in the Lord's churches today. We don't have to do something different. We don't have to try to come up with something new and improve. No, we just need to stick with what abideth now. Faith, hope, love in the service of our Lord and our Savior. Let's consider a few things tonight concerning faith, hope, and love. May God bless us in them. First of all, we consider that now we have faith. Oh, the vitalness, the importance of faith. From the very beginning of the Lord saving us to the day we depart from this earth, it's all going to be by faith. It's all about faith. It's about God giving us the gift of faith, about growing in the faith, maturing in the faith, continuing in the faith, being steadfast in the faith. And thus it'll be till the Lord takes us home physically, we pass, we die, or He comes back and catches us up and we meet Him in the air. It's all about faith. It's all by faith. We today, beloved, here we are in 2017. And I remember a sermon I preached up in Traverse City, Michigan, for our first pastorate. Brother Randy Graber's pastoring up there now. But I remember 1976, we were celebrating the bicentennial. We were pastoring up there at the time. And I remember in a message, I wondered, as bad as it got, and bad as it was, I remember telling the folks in the church, I said, as bad as it is right now, I don't know if we could ever hope to see the year 2000. Here we are, 2017. Some say, oh, it can't get much better. Hey, maybe some of you will be here in 2050. And you'll wonder, I remember back in 2017. And beloved, as long as it's the Lord's will for us to be here, our faith is what we need to carry us through. Our faith is what we've got to serve the Lord and be faithful to the Lord. Now abideth faith. Faith is how we start. It's how we're saved. Ephesians 2:8 tells us that we're not saved by works or anything we do, but it says, for by grace are you saved through faith. God gives and works in the heart faith. And from that time on, we're to live, we're to go, we're to grow, we're to do by faith. Bible tells us back in Romans chapter 1, turn back here and read with me. We're doing tonight in 2017 the same thing Paul and other disciples were doing back here when he wrote to the church at Rome. In Romans chapter 1, it says, verse 16, for I'm not ashamed of the gospel of Christ, for it is the power of God unto salvation to everyone that believeth, to the Jew first and also to the Greek. For therein is the righteousness of God revealed from faith to faith. And as it is written, the just shall live by faith. We're at the same place tonight Paul was back when God inspired him to write these words. It's still the reality of our relationship with the Lord and our service to the Lord. The just shall live by faith. Not just saved by faith, live by faith. Beloved, it is still faith. And it is still following faith, living by faith, going by faith, doing by faith that pleases God, our great Lord, God Almighty. Hebrews chapter 11, it tells us this. Hebrews chapter 11. Verse 1, now faith is the substance of things hoped for, the evidence of things not seen. For by it the elders obtained a good report. Beloved, it's the same for us now, 2017. How do we please God? How do we present a good testimony? How do we gain that good report? How do we, follow in the footsteps of all these wondrous men and women of God that are revealed here in the roll call of faith in Hebrews? By faith. There's no other way to please God but to go by faith. To live by faith, to do by faith. Verse 6 says, but without faith, it is impossible. It doesn't say it's hard. It doesn't say it's unlikely. It says without faith, it is impossible to please God. It's impossible to please God. Oh, beloved, now abideth faith. It's still by faith that we have the victory. You know, we don't see our churches abounding in number. We don't see necessarily physical manifestations. We don't see what many times I still pray for. I still pray, as Brother Cawley, Brenda's grandfather in the flesh, often said that he labored and started several mission works in northern Michigan. Sometimes, you know, if it wasn't for the Lord's promise of where two or three are gathered together, you know, they couldn't have, you know, said they really worshiped. That's that way in a lot of churches nowadays. But he'd say, you know, I keep going and I keep praying, I keep preaching and look for one day the Lord just to bust it loose. Lord, just bust it loose. Tears flowing down people's faces. Hearts broken over sin. Repenting of sin. Getting right with God. Committing themselves to God like maybe they hadn't done for years. And just crying out, dear God, use me. Use me. Some way, somehow. By faith, use me. I still believe we can see that. I pray every service for God to bust it loose. But if it doesn't happen, we're still to go by faith. We're still to keep on keeping on by faith. The Bible tells us in 1 John chapter 5. 1 John chapter 5, verse 4. 1 John 5:4. For whatsoever is born of God overcometh the world. Oh, how we still need to believe that tonight. We are overcomers. We are victorious. We have already receive the victory in and through our Lord and Savior, Jesus Christ. We may stumble and we may lose some battles along the way, but beloved, the victory is still ours in Jesus. For whatsoever is born of God overcometh the world, and this is the victory that overcometh the world, even our faith. Even our faith. I've seen people in 40-some plus years of preaching and pastoring. I know I've seen people join churches because they had some kind of feeling, some kind of emotional experience. I've seen people join churches because of family reasons. I've seen people join churches because they thought it might straighten out some situation in their life. I believe I've seen people join churches for a lot of reasons other than simply moving by faith by the leadership of God the Holy Spirit. And I've seen a lot of them go out the door and never come back. Beloved, anybody who sticks and stays, it's because God's been pleased to set them and we just keep on keeping on by faith. By faith. And this is the victory that overcometh the world, even our faith. Now abideth faith. Oh, beloved, let our hearts be thrilled over faith. Over the faith that God has given us. Over the faith that we have tonight. To face whatever happens in our country. I'm glad. And I'm going to hold my tongue. Which sometimes is hard for me to do. You can ask Brenda, but ask her after church. But I'm glad Hillary is not in the White House. And I'd love to make some comments right now, but I'm, like I said, I'm going to hold my tongue. But even if Hillary had won the White House, for some reason, by God's sovereignty, you know what? We could still keep on keeping on. We'd still go forward by faith. Amen. By faith. Now abideth not only faith, but hope. Oh, are you here tonight? Have you seemingly lost your hope? We still have a wondrous hope in and through our Lord and Savior, Jesus Christ. We have a wondrous hope of glory, of eternal life. We have a wondrous hope that God tells us is the anchor of our soul. My first pastor was up in northern Michigan. And can't remember what year it was, but one of the great ships, the Edmund Fitzgerald, sank out in Lake Superior. Went through a terribly violent storm. Huge waves, so forth, and there's still somewhat of a mystery as to what all happened for that great ship to go down. But during many a storm, that practice of facing a typhoon or a storm or some kind of terrible wave is to turn the ship into the waves, into the storm, and drop the anchors. And hope and pray that the anchors hold throughout the storm. Beloved, we have a spiritual anchor tonight. We have a hope that's going to withstand every gale, every hurricane force wind, every tremendous wave of shock and tragedy and trial and tribulation. Beloved, we have an anchor of the soul that God says two things about. God says it's sure and it's steadfast. You believe that tonight? I hope you do. Look in Hebrews chapter 6. Hebrews chapter 6. Verse 17, it tells us, wherein God, willing more abundantly to show unto the heirs of promise the immutability of His counsel, confirmed by an oath, that by two immutable things in which it was impossible for God to lie, we might have a strong consolation. We might have a fortress of comfort. Strong consolation. Assurance. Who have fled for refuge to lay hold upon the hope set before us. Now, what are these two immutable things? The word immutable means that which is set for all time, for all eternity, unchangeable. Absolutely unchangeable. It's the same today as it was 500 years ago. It'll be the same if God allows another 100 years on this old earth before the Lord. It'll be the same then. Immutable. Unchangeable. Number one, God made an oath. God swore an oath. God made a promise. Number two, God can't lie. God can't. It's not that God wouldn't lie or don't lie. Beloved, God can't lie. This is our hope, which hope we have, verse 19, as an anchor of the soul, both sure and steadfast, and which entereth into that within the veil. Whither the forerunner is for us entered, even Jesus, made a high priest forever after the order of Melchizedek. You know, if you want a wonderful Old Testament study, go back when Abraham met Melchizedek. And Melchizedek, which names mean King of Salem, King of Peace. And he met Abraham and he blessed Abraham, and Abraham gave the tenth of all unto, and so forth. And then you read here in Hebrews chapter 6 and 7 particularly, where our Lord and Savior is made forever a high priest after the order of Melchizedek. Forever. We have peace. Forever we are blessed. Forever we are secure. Forever we have, as an anchor of the soul, both sure and steadfast, our Lord Jesus Christ. And what He has done for us, what He is doing for us. You know, some folks have the idea Christ is just sitting up there at the right hand of the throne of God, and He's just kind of twiddling His thumbs, waiting for God to tell him, okay, go bring my people home. No. Jesus is very, very busy being our great high priest, our Melchizedek. He intercedes for us. He pleads for us. He provides grace for us in our time of need. I think that's one thing we're going to spend a good bit of heaven learning, is what all Christ has done for us since He bled, suffered, died on Calvary, was buried, and rose again the third day. And after the 40 days, went up to glory, and He sat down at the right hand of the throne of God. Christ has been very, very busy for us. And that's our hope. Both sure and steadfast. We have a hope as an anchor of the soul. The winds can howl, the waves can roll, but our anchor's not cutting loose. Our chain to that anchor is not breaking down. No. An anchor which we have, both sure and steadfast. And now abideth faith and hope. And lastly, love. Now abideth love. Oh, where would we be without the love of the Lord? There's not a single one of us are in any degree worthy of even the thought of God about us. And yet God in His love sent Jesus to come and suffer, bleed and die for old wretched sinners like us. No matter how much you meditate, consider it, contemplate it, beloved, it's beyond all realm of human understanding. For God so loved the world, particularly for God so loved us, gave His only begotten Son, Whosoever believeth in Him should not perish, but have everlasting life. Oh, love. Love, because the Lord first loved us, we can love Him. Love isn't a selfish thing. Love is, and this is what's wrong with so many relationships in the world. This is why so many relationships might last a few months. People stand in front of preachers all across the land and they make vows and say, "I do," and within a few months have gone their separate ways and talking to a divorce lawyer or so forth. Real love isn't about receiving. Real love is about giving. And that's how God loved. For God so loved, He gave. Not about getting. Real love is about giving. And we can love God, we can give to God, we can give ourselves to God because He loved us and gave first. 1 John chapter 4. 1 John 4, verse 10 says, "Herein is love, not that we love God." Beloved, if God didn't love us first, and in love didn't determine to manifest His grace and work His work of quickening and the granting of repentance and faith, there is not a single one of us in this assembly that be here tonight if God didn't love first. Wretched, miserable, disgusting, depraved sinners. Herein is love, not that we love God, but that He loved us and sent His Son to be the propitiation, which is simply a big word that Jesus is the way our sin is covered and cleansed. To be the propitiation for our sins. Verse 19 says, "We love Him because He first loved us. Now abideth faith, hope, love." Having experienced God's love for us, we certainly need to share that love with one another. Look back up in this fourth chapter, verse 7, verse 8. "Beloved, let us love one another, for love is of God, and everyone that loveth is born of God and knoweth God. He that loveth not knoweth not God." I love everybody in this assembly tonight. Had wonderful fellowship with y'all here and there through the years. But you know, if it wasn't for the manifestation of the love of God, I wouldn't know any of y'all. I'd never met you. I'd never crossed paths with you. You think of how many lives are disconnected and how many personalities got nothing in common. You think of the different upbringings and the backgrounds and the different personalities and so forth. And yet God in love brings us together. And all the wonder of the brothers and sisters in Christ that we experience that we'd never, ever, ever know of except for knowing the love of God. That's so wondrous. That's so amazing to think about it. Then it not only says, "Now abideth faith, hope, charity, love," but then it makes a very, very amazing statement. Let's go back to our text. We'll close up just a moment. I don't mean I'm going to say one sentence and say amen. We'll close up just a moment. 1 Corinthians 13, verse 13. And now abideth faith, hope, charity, love. These three. But the greatest of these is charity, is love. This word in this text is agape love. That's the highest in the Greek that represents God-like love. That represents the highest form or order of love that we can experience, that we can know, and that we can share. And the greatest of these is love. I want to close out our thoughts some ways why I believe Paul said it the way he said it. Why I believe God led Paul, inspired Paul to say it the way he said it. Now abideth faith, hope, charity, love. These three, but the greatest of these is love, charity. Why is that so? Why is love greater than faith? Why is love greater than hope? Well, first of all, because love is most like God. When we have experienced, know, and share agape love, it's because we've experienced God's love. In 1 John chapter 4 and verse 8, it says, God is love. We wouldn't know. We wouldn't experience. God would never have worked it out in His grace and purpose from the council halls of eternity for us to have faith, for us to have hope, if it wasn't for love. If it wasn't for His love. And the greatest of these is charity, is love. Beloved, when we love, when we manifest agape love, we are most like God that we can be as a human being. We're most like God that we can be as a human being. Love is the greatest because God said it's preeminent. Look in Colossians with me, chapter 3. And yes, I'm probably one of those preachers that say in closing and goes on for another 10 minutes, but bear with me. Colossians chapter 3. It gives us a whole list of things to put off. And it gives us a whole list of much, much better things to replace what we put off. So we're to put off and we're to put on. And it's, you know, God never takes away something without replacing it with something better. God never tells us to get rid of something without giving us something better to fill that place. And so get rid of all the different things that it says here, anger, wrath, malice, blasphemy, filthy communications, lie not, so forth. Having put on the new man, which is renewed in knowledge after the image of Him that created him. It says, put on, therefore, verse 12, as the elect of God, holy and beloved, bowels of mercy, kindness, humbleness of mind, meekness, long-suffering, forbearing one another, forgiving one another. If any man have a quarrel against any, even as Christ forgave you, so also do ye. Whew. That's a bunch. Notice the next statement. And above all these things, put on charity. Put on agape love. Put on God-like love. And above all these things, I mean, there's some wondrous things to put on in place of all the wretched fleshly things we're to put off. And above all these things, put on charity, which is the bond of perfectness. Why is love the greatest? It's most like God. It's preeminent of all the character, of all the things that we can show forth as one saved and brought in newness of life in our Lord and Savior Jesus Christ. Why love? because of the outstanding nature of love. Look in 1 Corinthians 4 through the first part of verse 8. Why is love the greatest? 1 Corinthians 10 or 13 verse 4. Charity, love, suffereth long, as is kind. Charity envieth not. Charity vaunteth not itself, is not puffed up. Did not behave itself unseemly. Seeketh not her own, is not easily provoked. Thinketh no evil. Rejoiceth not in iniquity, but rejoiceth in the truth. Love, beloved, beareth all things, believeth all things, hopeth all things, endureth all things. Charity, love, never faileth. Wow. Wouldn't every single issue in every single New Testament Baptist church of the Lord Jesus Christ be resolved if we loved like the Bible says is the nature, the character of love? There'd never be a church split. There'd never be church members sitting on opposite sides of the assembly, never speaking to each other. There'd never be situations of gossip and tearing down the God's man. There'd never be situations of anger. There'd never be such love rejoices not in iniquity, but rejoices in truth. It beareth all things, believeth all things, hopeth all things, endureth all things. Love never faileth. It's the greatest. It's the greatest. It's the greatest because, beloved, what God tells us here in this text, there's not much else that means a whole lot without love. Paul says in verse 1, though I speak with the tongues of men and angels and have not charity, I am become as sounding brass or tinkling cymbals, and though I have the gift of prophecy, understand all mysteries, not just the few we have an idea of now. I know the longer I pastor, the more I know, oh, what I don't know. The more I know that I don't know, even near as much as I thought I knew when I was first ordained and set out to pastor one of the Lord's churches. But Paul says here, though I have the gift of prophecy, understand all mysteries and all knowledge, and though I have all faith so that I could remove mountains and have not charity, I am nothing. Why is love the greatest? You can demonstrate a whole bunch of faith. You can demonstrate a whole bunch of spiritual knowledge. You can experience and show a number of spiritual traits here, highly desirable, but without charity, without love, it's nothing. Think about that statement. Think about what he says here. He says, I am nothing. Though I bestow all my goods to feed the poor, and though I give my body to be burned, make the absolute ultimate sacrifice for the Lord, and have not charity, it profiteth me nothing. Why is love the greatest? Lastly, and I really mean it, love's the greatest because love is eternal. It's forever. One day, beloved, our faith is going to become sight. We will see Him as He is. All we've ever believed, all the promises God ever made, all the Word that God has revealed to us that we've believed and trusted in all the year, one day, beloved, going to become sight. Faith is going to be done. We'll see Him as He is. One day, beloved, everything we've hoped for, it's going to be fulfilled. It's going to be fulfilled. We're going to experience everything we could ever hope for. We're going to experience forever and ever. Don't have to hope for no pain, no sickness, no death. Won't have to hope for spiritual strength to face this or that. Won't have to hope and just sometimes get down to the point where you can't understand what in the world anything is happening, but you have that hope, that anchor. One day you're not going to need it. All our hopes will be fulfilled. But beloved, the love of God to us and our love to God is going to go on forever and ever and ever and ever. Now abideth faith, hope, love. But the greatest of these is love. Hallelujah! Praise God. Beloved, we're not seeing signs and wonders of apostles. But what we've got now is not only enough, it's more than enough to see us through, to carry us on to glory, for us to keep on keeping on for God in His house. Now abideth faith, hope, and love, the greatest of these in charity. What we got now is more than enough. May God bless our hearts and rejoice us in knowing that. Trusting that. Most of all, may we, if we've lost sight of it some way, maybe you're here tonight and you've lost sight of it. Maybe you've been a member of this church for years and years and years and you've lost sight of the greatness of love. Some way your charity has waned. Your love for lost, dying, hell-bound souls. Your love for a dear brother or sister in the Lord. Your love for your pastor, for God's man. Maybe some way your love has waned. Jesus warned. Matthew chapter 24, verse 12. And because iniquity shall abound, the love of many shall wax cold.